I'd like us to turn to Galatians and chapter 6. And I'll read the first five verses. And this morning we look at the first of these verses. And then tonight we look at the remaining four. So Galatians 6 then. And let's read the first five verses. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, if anyone thinks himself to be something, when in fact he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now, let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let's read the first verse again. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Let's ask God to help us then as we turn to his word. Lord our God, we thank you that we are here today and that, Lord, you want us to hear your word. And we thank you for that grace given to us then, that we may hear what it is that you have to say to us. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon us. Lord, it's hot and we find ourselves easily distracted. So we ask you, our God, to help us to focus upon what it is that you are saying to us. So, Lord, hear us then in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us know, don't we, our theme? We are looking at what the New Testament tells us about stress and how then we can, in the experience of stress, we can work towards perseverance. How then perseverance leads to character, and then eventually character leads to hope. Now, what we've done so far, looking at Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 10, we've thought about stress and the relationship between stress and perseverance. What I'd like us to do today, turning to these verses, I want to see that Paul identifies here two sources of stress. The first is in the very first verse, and then the second runs from verse 2 down to verse 5. The first source of stress identified by Paul is found in two words in the first verse. The first word is the word overtaken, and then the second is trespass. Now, let's see how it goes today. My intention at this point is to look at both of these words, but we may not have time to do so. So let's start with the word overtaken. What does that mean? It's a very ordinary looking word there in the first verse, but it's a wonderfully evocative word. It's got lots of ideas associated with it. And the idea is also used by James. And the same idea is used by Peter. So I want us to do a bit of flipping around in our Bibles. We'll start here, then we'll go to James in chapter 1, and then we'll see what Peter says about the same idea. So the word overtaken. Then, if we've got time, let's have a look at the word trespass. You see it there in the very first verse. And again, it's a very interesting word. And it's well worth just looking at the word itself. And what Paul says here is that there's a duty on the part of those who are spiritual to restore those who are overtaken in any trespass. So if you see there, there's a reference to spiritual people. And you may remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul has the same idea there. A person of the Spirit, a person who knows the Holy Spirit. So that's this morning. And then what I want to do this evening, from verse 2 down to verse 5, is to see a second source of stress that Paul identifies. And I want to take some of you back a number of years. Do any of you remember in prayer meeting, a good number of years ago now, it may well be about 10 years ago, we looked at these verses together, and many of you weren't very happy with what I said about these verses, because these verses are concerned with the subject of relationships. And what Paul does here is he identifies the fact that relationships can be a source of stress. And what Paul does is he uses the word burden to talk about the nature of relationships. And Paul is very concerned about the fact that in relationships, there is the danger of one party being overburdened, of one party in any relationship carrying too much. And that what Paul is doing from verse 2 to 5 is he's addressing the idea that in all our relationships, we must have a balance between what burdens we carry and what burdens we refuse to carry. So tonight I want to think about relationships and how sometimes as parents we may carry too much responsibility that our children should be carrying. That as grandparents we might be carrying too much responsibility that really belongs to our children, who are the parents of our grandchildren. The same idea may be true in work. That in work we take on too much, and that we should share the load much more than we do. So do you get the idea then? What Paul is doing from verse 2 to 5, he is telling us that the reason why we can become stressed is that our burdens are too great. And so verse 4 and 5, let each one examine his own work. What are you responsible for and what are you not? In the relationships that you have within the family, within the church, within your workplace, what are your responsibilities and what are not? Now, if something's not your responsibility, don't carry it, is what Paul is saying. Because if you carry it, you will be burdened. So look at verse 5. For each one shall bear his own load. Now, unless we are willing to look at relationships, then we'll continue to be stressed. That's what Paul is talking about. So we'll think a bit more about that this evening. Let's come to the first verse then. And what Paul writes there is, brethren, if a man is overtaken. So let's look at this word overtaken. And it's a word that means to be caught by surprise. It's the idea that something unexpected happens to you. That one minute things seem clear and the sky is blue and everything is calm, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, comes the most unexpected and difficult situation. That's the idea of the word overtaken. And the first time we come across this word, or the idea behind it anyway, is in one of the stories Jesus told. So if you've got your Bibles open, turn to Luke and chapter 10. And as soon as you do, you'll recognize this parable. Luke and chapter 10. And if you look at verse 30, just as Jesus begins this parable, you'll see the idea of the word overtaken. So Luke 10 and verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Now, the word fell is the same idea as overtaken. It's a sudden event. It's an event that comes out of nowhere. The least thing that you were expecting, it happens to you in this sudden and dramatic idea. Now, with these two references in mind, let's turn to a third. And I want you to turn across to James and the first chapter. So we read earlier from James and chapter 1. And I'm sure some of you will recognize straight away the idea here in the first chapter of James. James and chapter 1. And can you see verse 2 there? And James is using the same idea there that Jesus has in this parable. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So there's the same idea then. A fall, being overtaken, this sudden and unexpected event that happens to us. Now, if you look at James and that verse, verse 2, James has got a bit more colour to add to it. He says there, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, anyone remember the word various there? I'm going to try and help you to remember what the word various means. Go back into the Old Testament, and you have a very doting father there in the book of Genesis. Do you remember him? And this very doting father seems to have a particular son that's a favorite of his. And this father gives the son a coat. And the coat is a coat of various colors. The word here in James 1 verse 2 is the word multicolored. And what the idea is, according to James, is that Christian people can experience sudden, unexpected, dramatic events of different colors. Some will be dark, some will be not so dark. They are various in their nature. Surprising events that overtake the Christian. So I'm sure all of us will recognize exactly what the New Testament is talking about here. Many of us in recent weeks have known exactly this. One minute you're in prayer meeting, and the next something terrible happens to you. You're at home, and suddenly somebody tells you something. These are the nature of the events that the apostles are telling us about. So the New Testament recognizes that such events occur. Will you turn back to Galatians then and chapter 6? And what Paul says here then is, if a man, now that's really interesting. He doesn't say if a believer, or he doesn't say if a Christian or a church member. He says, if a man. And he's using the word that means every man, any man. So to any one of us, these sudden events can occur. And it's not wrong to say that this verse could also refer to those who are not Christian. So anybody then, anyone in your family, anyone in your community, people that you work with, for any human being, there is this idea of sudden and surprising and traumatic and dramatic events suddenly happening to us. That's the idea here in Galatians 6, verse 1. Let's look at the second word then. I think we've got time to do it. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass. So what Paul's doing, he's putting two ideas here. The first is sudden and dramatic events. We are overtaken by them. They catch our breath, if you like. They are like a punch in the stomach, something so unexpected that it takes our breath away. That's the word overtaken. But then you get the word trespass. And this word means a false move or a false step or a wrong decision or even a wrong choice. And this wrong choice has got ongoing consequences. So do you see what Paul is doing then? He's talking about the dramatic, and then he's talking about the ordinary and how every day we make decisions. And you decide things in your family, and you decide things for yourself, and you decide things in the church, and you decide things in work, and you make little decisions. And any one of those decisions that you make can be a false move. They can be a false step. They can be a wrong choice. They can be a wrong decision. But you've made it, and having made it now, you're living with it. You're living with the consequences of that decision. That's the experience that Paul is telling us will be a source of stress. So, can I just sum it up like this? You as an individual, you are stressed because of this dramatic and cataclysmic thing that's happened to you. This unexpected and unforeseen circumstance that has overtaken you. The result of that is that you feel stress. But then this idea of a false step, you've made a wrong decision, a wrong choice. You're contemplating a decision to make. And you're very tempted to make the wrong decision. The idea here is you may not know that it's the wrong decision. That sometimes as Christians we make the false move, a wrong choice, we act in the wrong way, and we may not realize it until it's later. These are the two ideas. And the second one, this word trespass, it seems to be Paul's idea that we are stressed because somebody else has made a false step or a false move or a wrong choice or a wrong decision. What does he tell us? If a man, so that's anyone, is overtaken, so here's that dramatic event, in any trespass. So Paul isn't limiting the idea here. We could make all sorts of wrong decisions. We can make wrong decisions on a Sunday morning. We can make a wrong decision, very ordinary one, on a Thursday evening. We could make a wrong decision about our family life, our homes. We could make all sorts of wrong decisions. There aren't any limits. It's big ones, small ones, trivial ones, major ones. But what he is telling us is that we may not see it. We may not realize it as a wrong decision at the time. Now, Paul is painting this picture for us, and look at what he says. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, I'm not going to look at the second part of that verse. We may do so again at a different, on a different occasion. What I want you to see is the word restore thee. Can you see it? Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Now, the word restore is another one of these fascinating words. There's so many of them just in this one verse. The word restore means you've lost the right to something. By what you've done, you've lost or you've forfeited your right to something. So you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it anymore because of what you've done. You don't deserve any acts of kindness, or you don't deserve a place or a privilege that you once had. But nonetheless, those who are spiritual would restore you, would help you have what you've lost the right to. That's the idea there. And I want us to reflect on this for a minute. Would any of us say we've got any right to anything? And I'm sure we wouldn't, would we? We have no right to the claims that we make on God. We've got no right to the grace of God. We've got no right to the forgiveness of our sins. None of us have any rights. But what Paul is saying here then is that those who are spiritual, now we may say a bit more about that in a moment, those who are spiritual would be seeking to work towards those who've been overtaken in order to help them have back what we've no right to. None of us have any right to it. So there's the idea then of this first verse, and I want just to, if I can, show you what James and what Peter have to say about the same ideas. So let's go back to this word overtaken. Brethren, if a man is overtaken. Now, what Paul is telling us here is very typical of Paul, and he's very concerned about knowledge. What do we know when these sudden and dramatic events happen? Paul is wanting to build up our knowledge of such things. Now, turn to James, and you'll get a different idea altogether, won't you? Turn across to James and the first chapter again. Now, look at what you've got in James and verse 2 of chapter 1. Paul is saying, we know certain things. So when these dramatic events, these sudden tragedies, these unexpected things happen to us, we know certain things. And our knowledge is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of how God works and the knowledge of his sovereignty and of his purposes. That's what we know. That's what holds us, says Paul. Now look at what James does. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Do you have a problem with this? Because I'm almost too afraid to look at what James says. James's approach to these dramatic and sudden and traumatic events is to count it all joy. Now, James doesn't mean to feel glad, does he? He doesn't mean to be joyful. How can you feel joyful when something terrible has happened like this? What you need to work out in verse 2 is what the word count means. Can you see it there? My brethren, count it all joy. So joy isn't an emotion here. Joy is not a feeling. So joy is not forcing your heartbroken heart, if I can say that, to feel something. What James is saying here is count. When you have time, think. Take a moment. Step back from what's happened to you. And that's the key in verse 2. When something unexpected happens, we are caught up in it, aren't we? It overtakes us. We think of nothing else. We've been knocked sideways. We've fallen on our feet, if you like. We really are struggling. And what James is saying here is, take a step back and have a moment to think. And that's what he is saying here in the word count. Step back and reflect on the purposes of God. And you can see how that leads from verse 2 into verse 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now that should remind you, shouldn't it, of these steps that we've seen in Romans 5. Testing, perseverance, character, hope. Well, here's the same idea in James. You've got falling into trials. The trials lead to testing. Testing leads to patience. So it's exactly the same idea that we've come across in the Apostle Paul, how one thing leads to another thing and another thing until eventually we find ourselves fulfilled in the purposes of God. So James's view is not that different, after all, is it, to Paul's? You can't feel joy, but you can step back, give yourself a moment, and put that experience into the context of the purposes of God. Well, I think we've got time, so let's look at Peter and what Peter also tells us. Turn to 1 Peter, and this time chapter 4. Now, he's got the same idea. So I want us to see how throughout the New Testament, there's this idea of sudden, unexpected events. It's in the parable of the Good Samaritan, it's in Paul, it's in James, and here it is. The same idea is in 1 Peter. Turn to chapter 4, and you'll see the same thing in verse 12. So we're not looking at exactly the same Greek words, but we are looking at the same idea. So 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you have become partakers of Christ's sufferings. Now, Peter is particularly concerned with persecution, but he's telling us, isn't he? He's giving us his own unique idea. That when these sudden and unexpected events take place, we are not to respond as if something strange, something foreign, has happened to us. I think we mentioned this just a few weeks ago, didn't we? As part of our understanding, our knowledge of how testing leads to perseverance. These sudden things, unexpected, yet at the same time, we are not to consider them as strange, as foreign, as things that don't belong. That's what Peter's take is on the same idea. So let's wrap things up, shall we? Turn back to Galatians 6 and verse 1. Sources of stress. This is the first idea here that he's going to deal with in this chapter. First source of stress. The unexpected, the unforeseen, the dramatic, that which in a sense you didn't know was going to happen to you. That is a cause of stress. So let's take the advice of Paul and Peter and James. When these sudden and dramatic things occur, three things. First, knowledge. When we can, and we may not be able to do it for days because we've been knocked sideways, but when we can, let's remember what we know. And what we know is that these sudden and dramatic and awful things will work towards this good that we've had outlined for us. Patience, character, hope. That's what these sudden and awful things in the purposes of God will work towards. That's knowledge. Knowledge. So secondly, when you can, take a step back. That's what James is saying to you. You get caught up in it, swept away by it. But take a moment. Step back, and as you step back and you see this big picture that we've talked so much about in recent weeks, that's the idea of James. By stepping back, seeing the big picture, we can then reckon ourselves. We can then say to ourselves, count it to ourselves as that purpose of God, that joyful purpose of God towards the future. So this knowledge, this stepping back, And then what does Peter say? Don't consider it a strange thing. And that, to me, I think, is very important. Some of you may remember that when Peter writes anything at all, he's so often thinking back, isn't he, to his previous experiences. And one of the things to do when you read Peter is trying to put it into what he's saying, what he's writing, put it into the context of what he's going through. And you can do that with that phrase. Don't think it's strange, like something foreign has happened to you. And I'll leave you to work that out for yourselves. So, the sudden and the dramatic, that's what we've got. We need to acknowledge, step back. We need to not think it's strange. And then you've got this idea of a false step. How many of us, would you say, have made false steps over the years? How many wrong decisions have you and I made? Decisions that we didn't realize were wrong at the time, perhaps. Perhaps we did know deep down that this choice we were making was the wrong choice. So if any of us are making wrong decisions, tempted to decide something that would have terrible consequences, not just for ourselves, but for the church as a whole, then we need to recognize the responsibilities that others have. So let's end with this. You who are spiritual, there is here a sense in which there's a burden we need to share. That's why he goes on to say in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's where I want to end. We want to fulfill the law of Christ. It's a word that means to fulfill prophecy. In the church, when people make wrong choices, wrong decisions, there is a burden here upon all of us to help carry, to help restore, to minister to have a conversation with, to help those who are making wrong decisions to be restored again to the right place. None of us deserve anything. None of us have got a right to anything. But there is this responsibility that we all share. Let's pray, shall we?